This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. I wouldn't have known a hop vine from a morning glory if I hadn't interviewed James Overton for The Spark and so been invited to a viewing of his film Virginia Hop Harvest at Avalon Farm. This led me straight to hop grower Stan Driver, who's my next guest. As soon as Stan opens his mouth, you'll know he was raised in North Carolina, on a tobacco farm, no less, which is about as Tarhelian as raisings get. Stan moved to this neck of the woods in the late 70s and has been growing things ever since, hops among them. Great, fantastical hop vines, Stan told me, have long been grown in the dry, arid areas of the Pacific Northwest. But the burgeoning Eastern microbrewery business has given Stan Driver a market as both a supplier of hops for Afton's Blue Mountain Brewery and as a hop-growing consultant. Let's go to the
hop. We will never match the growing conditions out west, so we have to be realistic and reasonable about our production goals, too. Out west, they can produce 2 pounds of dried hops per plant. 1 pound would be an attainable and a lofty goal for us. But we also are producing for a local market, a premium market. The brewers are willing to pay the premium prices for our products. And when we talk about selling wet hops, which are fresh hops directly from the vine, they're just not available anywhere but locally. If we don't grow them locally, our brewers just don't get those.
How high maintenance are hop plants?
Hops are a lot of work. Hops must be produced on trellises that are...
And what are we talking in terms of height?
We use 16-foot poles.
Wow.
By the time we get those in the ground, you know, our trellis wire is about 13 feet. You have to think about getting up there to work on that. And then the hops growing up, you have to have access to cut them down for harvest and things like that.
Now, how do you plant them in rows?
Yeah, our rows are 7 feet apart. That gives us access with the tractor in between the rows. And we try to do ours in compact blocks. With the issues of air circulation, we have to be careful about how closely we plant these things. But a lot of the fields we have to work with for the better soil conditions are small fields along creek banks and things like that. So we try to reduce the amount of area and plant as many as closely as we can for management purposes. Mm-hmm. Our rows are 7 feet apart, and I'm recommending to most people that they plant about one-third of an acre, which is about a 45 by 180 feet rectangle. It's not so much that they're overwhelmed with the labor and the cost of it, but they'll have enough product that a brewer can work with. You want to make sure you reach a critical production level that you can negotiate with a brewer. You have enough product and that your brewer can use it in one of his larger brews. That's what I'm encouraging people, individual growers now, is to build a personal relationship with your local brewer, no matter where you are. There's a brewer within 50 miles somewhere. And go to him and talk with him and say, you know, I want to grow hops, and we can do this local thing.
This locally brewed beer is just fascinating to me. It reminds me of the 80s with wine.
And with the breweries nationwide, it's almost the same process going on, you know, how the wineries got started early, and now the breweries, with the revolution of this microbrewing industry, it started out in the Northwest and has spread all across the country, and it's such a growing industry that, you know, I felt like I could tag along with growing the hops.
Yeah, hitching a ride. Are these plants perennials or annuals?
They are perennials. They're perennial rhizomes.
So you don't replant every year?
No, once you plant the first year, the planting will last minimally 10 years.
Okay.
It has the potential to last 50 years in good health and good maintenance. So all of your expenses, mostly up front to establish it. And at this point, it's about $15,000 to establish an acre.
Say, I wanted to grow hops in my front yard. I
yes.
have an acre yard, and I'm going to, you know, turn a third of it into a hop field. Do I go down to my local feed store and get hops, rhizomes, or where do I go?
Hop rhizomes are a local product. You can buy them locally from the growers that are beginning here now, Blue Mountain, myself, some of the other scattered growers that are working here. Or you can go online for hops from out northwest, from Fresh Hops or Hop Union. You can find those online, and they'll be happy to sell those to you. If you're growing small plot, you'll have to pay full retail, which Per rhizome, you're looking at $4 to $5 at this time.
How does the plant make these rhizomes?
The rhizomes will form a crown. It's the root of the plant. And from that crown, you'll get all these root systems running out. And the new rhizomes are just collected from that root with a sort of like a potato. It'll have an eye on it.
And if you didn't harvest the rhizomes, the hops just spread and get less powerful, or what would happen?
That's exactly right, Martha. If we didn't basically root prune these rhizomes, they would just cover the field with a mass of impenetrable vegetation. We have to keep the crowns pruned back so that they're in one spot, and they are putting up 3 or 4 shoots per string, and then we have to limit it to that. And every year or two, we have to till and disc between the rhizomes to cut away all those extra roots so that we don't have shoots coming up in the middle of the rows and all across the field. And
worse than butterfly bushes, isn't it?
No.
No. Okay. Okay, you stick your rhizome in the ground, I assume in early spring, or is it a fall crop? Is it a fall planting?
What we'd recommend is that you begin soil preparation, hopefully a year before you plan to plant. That way you can do your soil testing, put the proper amendments in, do some weed control. But then in the spring of the year you want to plant, usually planted in March, April. You don't need to worry about frost. The frost doesn't really bother them. I'm recommending planting 3 rhizomes per hill. They'll come up in late April and May. They'll start sending shoots up from that year's. And by June, you'll have shoots long enough you can begin to trellis.
Are some of those shoot suckers, or do you keep every shoot that comes up?
For the first year, you would probably want to keep every shoot, because you want to grow the rhizomes, the roots, to establish the plant. So the first year, I would recommend just letting all the shoots grow so that you have some vegetative matter, leaves and foliage, to produce some starches and sugars for the root system. The second, third year, you start limiting those shoots coming up, because the second year, you're going to have multiple shoots coming up from these rhizomes. You let them grow until it's time to string, which is you tie a string to the trellis wire above the plant and stick it in the ground by the crown, and you tie these shoots onto that string.
Do they climb, or do you tie?
We have to train them initially, but once they're tied onto the string, they climb on their own, and they climb clockwise. Well, after we string and get those tied up, we have to manage additional shoots, because we're going to get other shoots coming up that's going to compete with our productive shoots. Commercial growers use growth regulators, but we choose not to do that. So we use scissors, knives, hoes, weed eaters.
Every evening after dinner, you go out and clip
those shoots. But about mid-June, those advantageous shoots stop coming up, and that problem's over. But then you have to monitor insects and monitor for fungal disease through June and July.
What insects will go
after them? Well, there's a hop moth on the East Coast. They don't have them on the West Coast. And the Japanese beetles, of course.
Oh, yes. What do you do about Japanese beetles?
They do not attack the fruit. They attack the foliage, as with a lot of the other insects. And hopefully, if you can keep these vines vigorous and growing, that they can survive these attacks without damaging their cones, and you can manage to make a crop. If it's a bad season, a bad cycle for Japanese beetles, you just watch.
And say, oh, just like life.
Yeah.
I don't even know what a hop looks like. We're in May and June. Do they bloom, and then the blooms turn into something?
When hops bloom, it's called a burr. It's tiny. It looks like a burr almost, and it's yellow. That happens mid-June, and then it'll set fruit. And late June, July is the growing season for the fruit, the cone.
And you harvest?
We harvest here in Virginia in August.
Late, middle?
We begin in early August until the end of August.
Okay, so it's kind of a rolling crop.
Well, the microclimates that I have 5 different fields for myself and that I manage for other people, the microclimate determines a week or so variance in these things, which is convenient that we can do that.
What does a cone, that's the right term for the crop itself, a
correct
cone,
yeah,
what does it look like when it's ready to be harvested?
It's shaped like a little pine cone. Usually they're 1 inch to 1.5 inches long, mm-hmm, depending on variety of hop and how well they're grown. Green, a little sticky on the outside. But what's inside is what really counts. It's you break that cone open and you'll see inside along the stem inside that there are yellow glands, and they're lupulin glands, and that's what the brewers are after.
What kind of glands?
Lupulin, L-U-P-U-L-I-N. It's a resin. That's the best word for it, a resin.
Okay, and that's what they're actually putting in the beer.
Well, no, they put the whole cone in the beer.
All right, well, wait a minute. I don't want to get to the beer yet. Okay. We're still harvesting.
Yeah.
All right, if I remember correctly, you have 13-foot tall trellises with a bunch of vines growing up. How do you get to these hops, these cones?
What I have done is I built a device. It's just a cart with a scaffold-like thing and a chute on the side where I can put a guinea pig up in the crow's nest on it and tow it along through the field along the trellis and cut the trellis vines at the top and let them fall into the chute. This is the whole vine. Of course, we cut it at the bottom first and then let it fall in from cutting it at the top. But then we can take these back and have all our friends pick the hop cones off.
So you whack the vines, take them back in Stan's device,
yep.
And then you sit around and have a hop picking party.
That's correct. Well, we don't call it a party. We'd rather call it the Hop Harvest. It's the Hop Harvest Festival.
I stand corrected. And then you have buckets of little pine cones with lupulin glands in them.
Yep.
Well, how does that get transformed into beer?
Well, I'll go back to our local market.
Okay.
Those green, freshly picked hop cones are a rarity on the East Coast. The Western brewers have used these things for years. They made their specialty beers they call wet hop beers, and it's a huge festivals in the Willamette Valley and in Oregon and Portland around the wet hop beers each year from the fresh harvest. We can create that here. So our brewers here would love these hops and would like to get them delivered the day they're picked so that they can put them directly into the kettle and brew their wet hop beers. You have to talk with your brewer so that he has his kettle ready when you deliver the hops, and he dumps them right in.
And then you put the bubble light on top of the truck, turn on the siren, and
yeah,
take off. What is the difference in taste between a wet hop beer and a dry hop beer?
It's all about aroma. And these wet hop beers and these wet hops going in produce a floral bouquet on the beer
that
you just can't get from the dried hops. It's the difference between a dried herb and a fresh herb.
It sounds like a lot of work. A lot of work.
It's a tremendous amount of work. Be prepared.
How come you like to grow things? Where's that come from?
I think that comes from my father. My father was a older generation farmer that taught me a lot of good things. When I met all the new age farmers and all the organic growers, discovering all this new stuff, this is what my father taught me.
Many years ago. Did you pick tobacco growing up?
Of course. And when I wasn't doing that at home on our farm, I was at Uncle John's and Uncle Randolph's. I was hired out. Relate back to that time, and I've got it pretty good now. I would like to mention that last year's harvest at Blue Mountain, hop harvest there, went directly into his brew, and that brew won second place in the Denver Beer Festival. And the first thing Taylor said in accepting the award was that this is the first beer brewed with entirely East Coast Virginia hops to win a medal.
Stan Driver of Hootenhauer Hops now oversees the hop farm at Blue Mountain Brewery. Stan and Blue Mountain have formed Virginia's first hop cooperative with area nursery and farm owners in order to promote the growth of hops as a crop in the Commonwealth.